It's Wednesday, October 4th, 2023. Welcome to Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. Gunafchish, hawa, salamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, Maga Kwento, meaning the stories in Tagalog, is kicking off this Friday, October 6th, with a podcast, a community celebration, and a two-month exhibit at the Juno Douglas City Museum. We'll chat with the museum about the exhibit and get a preview. Juno Jazz and Classics is in full swing, and next up is Chelsea Green and the Green Project. We'll share in conversation about their upcoming concerts happening tonight and Friday. And we'll talk with Juno community bands about their Oktoberfest concert happening this Sunday. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
For over a century, Filipinos have shaped the community of Juno. But how did we get here? And why do we stay?
I'm just here to try and make sure that this organization, that effort that people put into making this community vibrant and what it is today, doesn't falter.
Listen to KTOO's new podcast for stories from Juno's Filipino community. Maga Kwento premieres October 6th. Find it at ktoo.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Walang kasinatan, amay roses ang alimuyak. Kung nanaisin lang, tadhanang mapanlin lang. Di hahayaan mawala pa itong liham ng maasa. Mata mong mapabasa, handang
that's a little Sugar Cane with a song called Leonora, which is great. It's a six-piece folk pop band based in Manila. It's part of the Filipino music that we're going to be playing all week in celebration of Maga Kwento launching. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Walk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The KTO news team has been working on a project, Maga Kwento, for close to a year. It's led by community engagement producer Tasha Elizarde. It's a podcast, a community celebration, and a museum exhibit. She, along with the entire team, have been working with multiple community partners to bring this project to life. Filipino Community Inc. And Filipino Community Hall, which is hosting the community celebration this Saturday at Philcom, is one of those partners. And another partner is the Juno Douglas City Museum. They will open an almost two-month exhibit entitled Maga Kwento, Filipinos of Juno, this Friday, October 6th. Here to share more about this exhibit and the museum's first Friday opening, along with a couple of other items of note from the museum, is the museum's Kate Ross. Gunath Cheesh Salama for being here today. Kate, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, Boston. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So this, let's start with the Maga Cuento exhibit. Mm-hmm. I know that Tasha worked with Phil Com, and also, and then she told the story yesterday on the show about how she discovered all these photos and how she discovered all these different artifacts and different things that, like it started out as a seed of an idea for her, mm-hmm. this project she had, and it has blown up into a museum exhibit and this community celebration, as well as the podcast. And so she found a partner in the Juno Douglas City Museum. And that's how that sort of that project came about. When did you all start kind of putting this together, like for yourselves?
Yeah, I don't know when the very first meetings with Tasha were. I first became aware of it at least 3-4 months ago.
Yeah.
So a while ago, and kind of got to sit in on some early meetings, brainstorming what the exhibit was going to look like in conjunction with, you know, the event at PhilCom and everything else. So it's been really, really cool to see these seeds of everything and the brainstorming now blossom into what is going to be an incredible exhibit and an amazing weekend of events at PhilCom. I was just actually earlier today watching some install of the exhibit, and it's pretty fun.
So give us a little preview, like what's in the exhibit? Is it what is in it?
Yeah, it's a really cool snapshot of Filipinos in Alaska. So there's a lot of different history. There's going to be some information on the 4th of July parades and the incredible costuming and drumming and dancing that goes along with that. There's some really, really cool historical photos that Tasha found. I believe she also put out a call to community members and had a lot of community members bring in old photos and say, hey, I found this in the basement, or hey, look at this picture of this, you know, group of basketball players, or this club, or group of politicians. So it's the exhibit is going to be a mix of a lot of different things. There's going to be historical photos. There will actually be some costumes on display.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And some other artifacts as well. I just watched them putting up this big vinyl on the wall. So it's colorful costumes, history, all the exciting things we like.
That's going to be so cool. And so I know Tasha helped curate the exhibit. Mm-hmm. And did she work in conjunction with the curators there at the museum? Is that how that worked?
Yeah. So Tasha curated the exhibit herself, and then worked with our curator, who we actually brought on a new curator pretty recently, Dara Lonas-Davies. And so they've been working together, but it really is Tasha's vision and Tasha's map and, you know, for everything. So she curated the exhibit with some support from some people that had a different type of experience planning exhibits in that way.
I got you. Okay. And so what are the dates of the exhibit? Let's get that information out there in terms of when it starts this Friday. When does it run until?
Yeah. So the opening reception is this Friday, October 6th. That reception will be from 4 to 7, big first Friday, like we like to do. And the exhibit will run all the way until November 22nd. So you have just under 2 months to come and see it. And we actually have free admission at the museum now that we are in winter hours. So you can come by anytime that we're open.
Oh, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. I'm talking with Kate Ross from the Juno Douglas City Museum. We're talking about the Maga Cuento exhibit that is opening this Friday here. We're talking about this on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. So tell us a little bit more about what's going to be happening on First Friday. I heard something about food, maybe, and maybe some other kinds of special guests that will be in attendance.
Yes. So we are very excited for, a few things. We're going to have some really delicious food. I heard a rumor there might be some cassava cake, as well as some other tasty desserts that are being brought in, I believe, by some aunties in the Filipino community, which is very incredible. I'm super excited for that. And then we are set to have a couple of special guests, one of whom is going to be Representative Genevieve Mina, who sponsored the bill proclaiming or the declaration of October being Filipino American History Month for Alaska. So that's pretty exciting. I believe she'll be reading the declaration or maybe giving a little speech. I'm not sure of details, but that'll be fun. And then we also have, unfortunately, our mayor is out of town this week, but someone from the city will also be reading a proclamation from the city, also proclaiming October as Filipino American History Month for Juneau specifically.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is really nice. And as you mentioned that the fall, as we're entering fall, I think this is a really cool thing that y'all do. Mm-hmm. Like the hours have shifted a little bit, right? So the hours are going to be a little bit smaller, but mm-hmm. in exchange for that, you can go to the museum for free.
Exactly. Yeah. So, starting this week and then going all the way until end of April or beginning of May, we have our fall winter hours. It's 10 to 4 Tuesday through Saturday. So we are closed completely on Sunday and Monday, but 10 to 4 Tuesday through Saturday, you can come for free. We're able to offer that free admission through a variety of different sponsors and donors. For this month, it is just in honor of Filipino American History Month. And then other months throughout the winter, that free admission is donated basically by some other museum patrons.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great way to go see what's playing at the museum. This one runs through the sort of middle of November, right?
November 22nd.
Yeah, 22nd, mm-hmm. third week of November. What else is happening at the museum? Are there other exhibits that are going on right now?
Yeah, we have our continuing mini exhibit of Inspired by Ice with some a few paintings and a slideshow of historical photos of glaciers around Southeast Alaska. That's in our map case gallery. That gallery may be changing in the next few months, but details TBD. And then just a reminder that we will be having our 20th annual 12 by 12 community art exhibition. So it's never too early to start planning if that's something you might be interested in. The entry forms will be available on our website starting in January. So you've got some time to think about it and percolate through some ideas. But that's the community art show where you get 12 by 12 or by 12 if you want to do a 3D piece.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think people have done that in the past.
I know. That's what I think sounds like really exciting. Get some 3D art in there. It could be a cube, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. That's coming up. And then in November, we will also have our Walter Sobeleff card. I don't know what you call it, an event or a thing we do at the museum where we give away cards if people want to write thank you cards and send them off to people as gesture of gratitude. So we will have some free cards and more information will come on that in November.
That's awesome. Sounds like there's a lot going on in the museum. Most importantly, this Friday's opening of Magacuento Filipinos of Juneau. It's going to be running at the museum until November 22nd. And you can go there from Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 4 for free.
For free.
Which is great. So why not check it out? But you want to go this Friday because, you know, as Tasha said on the show yesterday, it's not an event if there's not food, right? So there's going to be some food this Friday and also some really good VIPs that will be there as well. And it's basically the official kickoff of this entire project. There is some other details that you can find out about this project. You can go to the Filipino Community Inc. Facebook page. They have a list of all the things that are happening. The podcast will also be airing starting Friday. We're going to air that first episode here on Juneau Afternoon. And then I think you might have some information here too about what's happening on Saturday, yeah?
Yeah, I do have a little bit of information. Yeah, so that Magacuento, the events will be happening at Philcom, at the Filipino Community Hall down on South Franklin. Saturday is kind of the big, longer day. So that'll be from 12 to 5. There'll be a merienda table with food by a couple of local Filipino chefs, which is really cool. There's a number of different programs happening during that, one of which is the Theater Alaska Neighborhood Cabaret. We'll have some singers and performers. So there'll be some live music, some drumming, Filipino martial arts demonstration, door prizes, apparently, which I just found out about. So that's
awesome.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's 12 to 5 on Saturday. And then there is a community potluck Sunday, October 8th at 12 at Philcom.
That's awesome. Well, Kate, thanks for coming and telling us all about this. For more details on the museum and its exhibits, visit juneau.org/museum. For more on Magacuento and the whole project, visit the Filipino Community Inc. on Facebook page, or you can go to kto.org and click the Magacuento banner that's on the right side of the homepage. So thank you so much, Kate, for coming in and telling us all about it.
Of course. Always happy to come in.
Absolutely. Goodness cheese. Up next, Juneau Jazz and Classics rings in the jazz. jazz portion of the festival tonight with Chelsea Green and the Green Project. We'll chat with them next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Oh yeah. We're just jamming to that. A little bit. That right there is Chelsea Green and the Green Project. That was a little song called Soundcheck, which they will be doing in not too long from now, as they are part of the Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Juno Jazz and Classics Music Festival has two exciting concerts, both involving our next guest. Tonight, Jazz at the Jack, and then this Friday's Puttin' on the Ritz. Yeah. Both feature Dr. Chelsea Green and the Green Project, which the Green Project is three other people, and we have two of them here in the studio with us, Ignatius and Brian. That's good. Touring the world and tearing down stereotypes of violin and viola by fusing traditional, classical, whole technique with popular favorites. They also have 5 studio projects as well. It's a pleasure to welcome to Studio 2K, named in honor of Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, Dr. Chelsea Green, and the Green Project. Sheesh for being here, y'all.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. It's an honor to be here.
Absolutely. It's so good to have you in the studio. Chelsea, let's start with you. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself and how the Green Project came to be? I know it's a longer story, but give us a little bit of a detail about yourself and how the Green Project came to be.
Okay. Well, the condensed version is I was born and raised in a family of musicians, and very grateful and blessed to have grown up in a house where violin was not a classical instrument. It was a musical one. So they encouraged me to pursue my classical training, but also really dive into other musics that would empower me, be, you know, very culturally aware. I played in church all the time. I would jam with my father, who's an incredible jazz musician himself and has a very long legacy of jazz education in Houston as well. And when I ventured out of my undergraduate studies, I found myself at Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore, Maryland. And I was starting to go play open mics. And this was something that was very new to me at the time. But the Green Project was born out of being part of a growing family of open mic musicians that I met Spida.
Yes.
And we met some other musicians. We eventually met Nate, and now we've been together almost 15 years. I can't even believe it. So
wow.
Yeah.
15. You guys don't even look like over 25.
Thank you.
And Brian, aka Spider, we got to call you the right name, right? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's great. So, and I know I do want to mention this. Dr. Chelsea Green was on Culture Rich Conversations, which is an ongoing feature of Juno Afternoon, a couple weeks ago. And Culture Rich Conversations is a show sort of looking at the Black lived experience in Alaska and beyond. And Chelsea was on there for a full hour of her journey, her history, more about her family life and all of that. So I definitely will link to that on the page for this show today. But I encourage everybody to go to the website and look up that hour, because it was great. You had so many great stories.
Thank you.
Talked about with playing all the great people that you've played with and the ideas of who you'd love to play with later.
Absolutely.
And all of that. So
it was a fun time.
Yeah, that was a really good episode. So let's talk a little bit about, I described in the intro about tearing down the stereotypes of violin and viola. What led to this inspiration? I think part of it is you going to these open mics and sort of seeing how it could work, right? Is that sort of where it started? But then how did you sort of like make it into what it is that you're doing now 15 years later?
I think in hindsight, people always say hindsight is 20/20. I say it's 100/100 because for me, the Green Project has been freedom. And that's the idea of remaining green, staying open, staying optimistic, allowing fresh ideas, allowing new birth to come in to permeate whatever it is that you're doing. So you're always learning. You know, we don't want to ever get stuck into a pattern of this regular just things that can make life even seem a little redundant. And so to always challenge yourself to push for different, push for more, and to see how that changes what you do, and the different iterations of that have been a blessing, which is what I really enjoy about how we operate with the Green Project, which is also why the Green Project is live shows, it is concerts, and it's also educational outreach. It's also a lot of community connection. And that's, you know, with instruments and without, because music is about connection, ultimately, at the end of the day.
That's cool. So you play both the violin and the viola.
I do.
Okay. And then so, Nate, what do you play?
Piano.
Piano. And then, Spider, what do you play?
I'm drums.
You're drums. Okay.
Yes. And he lights on kazoo.
Well, you got to have a moonlight. Everybody's got to have a moonlight, right? So what kind of things we'll be hearing tonight? You're doing two different shows. So you're doing jazz at the Jack, and then you're doing the fancy version of things on Friday, putting on the Ritz with our tux and our tails and our fancy dresses and all that. But what are we going to be hearing tonight for jazz at the Jack?
Tonight, we're going to be hearing a little bit of everything that we do, some oldies and some newer tunes that we're premiering on a recording that we actually are about to put together now.
Oh,
we just
nice.
Did a live recording. So
yes.
Oh, that's right. You were going to be, where was that at?
We did it in Baltimore.
Baltimore. Yeah. That's right. You were going like that Saturday after
exactly.
you were on Culture Rich, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So
yeah, that must have been
five
fun.
Shows later. Yeah. Here we are.
Right. Cool. Well, I want to take a listen to a little bit of something now.
Okay.
It's a classic, which maybe you're going to be playing tonight. It also comes from, I think, comes from that same album, Re-Envisioned. It's a little bit of Fly Me to the Moon.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Let's hear a little bit of that now.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. Oh, in other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, hope for and adore. Oh, in other words, please be true. Oh, in other words, I love you.
That's some good stuff right there. That's what we're talking about, right? Sort of like the infusion of kind of, you could hear the jazz in there.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You're taking that classical tune, which everybody knows from Frank Sinatra's right. version, but yeah. like it sounds like it's got some little, how did you come up with that arrangement?
Because of my training and kind of my own musical lens, I love jazz, I love classical, I love soul, R&B, I love all of it together.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started really studying to do my research for my doctoral program, I was really taken by the essence of how the Black community stuck together in the 20s, in the 30s, just as musicians, just because of access. You know, where they could and could not play, it didn't matter what genre, they were all in it to support each other. And it's really powerful to then blend those timbres, blend those colors, and show how they have paved the way for what we're doing now. So it's a bit of all of it together, just to kind of honor the tradition of where we've come from.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. So that's tonight. We'll be hearing kind of that kind of thing. And then Friday, you're also going to be playing with Zuul Bailey, right? You're going to be doing some numbers
yes.
with him.
We are going to do our best to get him to join us in some collaborative fun. And I hope that he'll have some fun with it. It's going to be really, easy for him to. He's a brilliant performer, player. He's such an incredible musician. And I've admired his art for so long. I'm just so honored to even be on the same program with him. And I look forward to us making music together.
Yeah, I think this is kind of a fun jam. Are you, who else is on the docket for Friday? Is it you all and Zuul? And is there anybody else? Or is that the team? Just those two. Okay. I have Rachel in here as well, off mic from Juno Jazz and Classics, giving us the deets.
We might have a surprise. I don't want to guarantee.
Oh, there's a surprise, possibly. We don't want to give away the surprise. Uh-oh. So that's okay. That's okay. That's okay.
You have to be there.
What kind of stuff will be? Will there be some of the same stuff as tonight, or will you change up the program a little bit for Friday?
Let's ask our music director.
Oh, music director Nate.
Whoa. I feel like I just got thrown on the spot.
You got promoted.
Instantly. Hey, you got a new job title.
You just got to figure out tonight first, right? Day at a time. Right. Day at a time. Yeah, but what are you thinking for Friday?
We'll probably definitely have to base it off of the audience, kind of see what's going on. Yeah. We have a master set list that we'll pick and choose from. And sometimes we'll change the arrangement depending on what the audience is giving, because the audience is like a really big part of our performance. The energy that we get from them, we're definitely throwing back and forth.
Yeah, so they got to bring it, really, right?
Man, I'm just saying. You know.
Yeah, because I think it's interesting because like tonight seems like it'll be a little bit less formal because it's at the Jack, Jazz at the Jack, kind of fun. And then this idea of dressing up. And so everyone's kind of gets a little tight, right? When you get your fancy suit on and your fancy black dress and all that. So you got to like play some tunes that might let their hair down, right?
Yeah, we're going to help you.
We're the opposite of that.
And is there going to be a dance floor? No dance floor, but you can stand up and dance at your table.
Absolutely.
And there will be food. There's going to be food as well. Absolutely. And you can find out all the information of what's going to be happening and get tickets at jazzandclassics.org. I just want to mention that now. I know that you're also, did I hear that you're headed to Hoonah tomorrow?
We are headed to Hoonah tomorrow.
Okay, you're going to go ahead and you're going to play some shows and also do some workshops?
We're going to do some workshops and work with, we're working with the community at some schools, and we're going to get to play some shows. So that's going to be really exciting.
That is really cool. Now, I know that you teach and you do a lot of education. I'm curious about Nate and Spider. Do you guys get involved in on that? Or is it when you're on tour and you're doing these workshops and stuff, do you let the kids play with your drum kit, Spider?
Of course. I mean, that's how I learned, actually.
Yeah.
I was that kid that always wanted to get on the drums. Like, can I get on now?
Right.
How about now?
Especially because the young kids see that, right? Yeah, and they get really inspired.
Definitely. That's what it's all about.
That's kind of fun. So what kind of things will you be doing in the workshop tomorrow in Hoonah?
Oh, my goodness. Those are always a lot of fun because, again, we react based on how the audience is. Yeah. Like, we've done these workshops for literally every single age you can possibly consider, from kindergarten to retirement home communities to college and universities, literally in the U.S. and abroad. We've worked with musicians and non-musicians alike in corporate settings and all different sorts of setups. So it's a collection of workshops that we kind of base off of just generally utilizing your own creativity to be successful in whatever discipline, whatever industry, whatever you want to do, because that's what makes us all so special, is that we're all gifted to do very unique things and to contribute into this world in different ways. And it's beautiful. So really, every day we wake up and do life, that's art.
Yeah.
And so we want to inspire that with our workshops.
That's cool. So, and then I'm just curious, like, how does that sort of work in terms of education? How does that feed back into the work that you do?
I feel like it is the work that we do, because they are future audiences. Mm. Like, they are the patrons. So when they can fall in love with a live music experience, they want to pursue that. And they're going to find it in whatever iteration continues to inspire them.
Yeah. And I know that's one of the beauties of sort of training youth in music is to create future audience members. But do you ever see like in one of those kids, do you see like somebody seeing you, Nate, and being like, oh, man, I could play the piano, too? Like, they're 10 years old and they're like, I want to do that. How did you get started? How did you do this? How do I get started? Right.
I love those people. Those are like that's the reason why we do it. Even if it's only one or two people that come up afterward. And it's I was watching you and you look like you really enjoyed it. And I want to know how I can find that for myself, whether that's in music, whether it's playing piano, violin, drums, whatever. I don't care if it's the same exact instrument. But the fact that you find that thing for you in your life, and for me to have had even a little part of inspiring you to try to find that, man, that makes it so worth it at the end of the day. I mean, I can go to heaven happy after that.
I mean, passing it on to the next generation for sure. Seeing it continue, especially like classical music,
yes.
You know, which sometimes you feel like it might get lost in today's world of easy access to music and TikTok and Instagram and all the kind of music that you might be hearing there. You don't necessarily hear, I mean, there's probably some TikTokers who are out there jamming on the violin. So, I mean, that's really cool. But just to see like the classical inspiration coming out and then seeing how they can use that in terms of making more modern music, right? Which is kind of cool. I think that's awesome. We'll break a leg in Huna tomorrow.
Thank you.
And enjoy working with those kids. So Nate, how did you get involved? And when did you start playing the piano? What was your inspiration to get on the keys, as it were?
Man, I grew up in a family that was very heavily into church. So when I was about 11, 12, the keyboard player who was playing at our church was about to leave to go to college. And he was like, yeah, I need someone to replace me. And you're not very good on drums, so why don't you switch over to keys? And, you know, I kind of took to it. It was a lot of hard work at first. Mm-hmm. I was not very good. It took a lot of hard work. But once, you know, once I dedicated myself to it and I found myself putting more time in here than anywhere else in my life, eventually I woke up one day and I guess I could play.
Nice. And now you're doing a lot of the arranging and figuring out what the show's going to be about. You're kind of
blessed to be able to help out in that way. You know, Chelsea definitely has the master vision for where we want to go. And I feel like my job is to think about the pieces that we have and try to figure a way that we can all have fun, but also accomplish the vision and provide a great experience to the audience. But also, you know, keep it interesting, because we're going to have to play these songs hundreds of times on stage. You don't want to.
Well, you were just talking about one of the songs, and I'll probably play it when we exit the interview, but a song called Groove Ready.
Oh, yeah.
Which is from an album from like 10 years ago or something.
Absolutely.
And you guys have all now done sort of a newer, we're going to hear the old version, but you're now doing like a newer arrangement of that, right? Because you can continue to evolve and grow as time moves on, right?
You got it.
It's a great tune, though. I love that tune.
You'll love the new one.
And
really will love the new one.
That sounds so good. I can't wait to hear it. And Spider, how did you get involved in sort of the drums? When did you start? Were you a kid? Or
I feel like I came out of my mom's womb like with sticks. Like,
with sticks in your hand?
Yeah.
Your mom probably didn't like that very much.
Yeah. Not at all. Not at all. But
you've just been banging on stuff since you were a kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
But definitely heavily influenced by church.
Yeah.
Both sides of my family are musical as well. So I really had no choice. My brother played everything.
Yeah.
And that just kind of left the drums open, and there it was for me.
Who were some of your inspirations in terms of drummers?
Dave Weckl.
Okay.
Steve Gadd, Dennis Chambers.
Yeah. You got the three, you got it down. You know exactly. Yeah.
Listening to me play, you'll probably hear them in some form.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That is awesome. It's Dr. Chelsea Green and the Green Project, or Chelsea Green and the Green Project.
Absolutely.
You're going to hear it all different ways, which is so cool. They're playing tonight. They're doing their Jazz at the Jack tonight, and it starts at 7. And then also on Friday, which is the fancy night, putting on the Ritz. It's the big get dressed up and you know, glamour and fancy dress and nice food and all that. And that also starts at 7. And you can get more information and tickets for all of that at jazzandclassics.org. And for more about Chelsea Green and the Green Project, go to chelseagreen.com. And Chelsea is spelled Chelsey.
Thank you.
Green, Green.com. You can go there and find links to all the music and all the different things and the tour dates that they have coming up, all that good stuff. So I can't thank you all enough, Chelsea, Nate, and Spider, for coming into the studio
thank
today.
You for having
and
us.
And I think we're going to go out and we are going to listen to that song I referenced called Groove Ready. Chelsea Green and the Green Project, everybody. Good the cheese for being here today.
Thank you.
Up next, Oktoberfest abounds via the Juno Community Bands this Sunday. We'll get the lowdown next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. We'll talk about what we're listening to in just a moment. Juno Community Bands is presenting Taku Wins Oktoberfest concert this Sunday, October 8th at 3 p.m. at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. Here to share about the program, the food, and more are Sarah McNair Grove, Todd Hunt, or as we also know him, W. Todd Hunt, and of course, Spencer Edgars. Gunnath Cheesh for you all being here today. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Thanks for having us.
Of course. It's lovely to have you in today. So we were just listening to something called the Scottish Export Hoedown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and this was Taku Wins from a few years back.
2015.
So, gosh, that's almost 10 years ago.
I know, right?
That's 8 years ago, but we're rounding up just to make us feel more old. Yeah. So you were, tell me a little bit about what we were hearing there.
Yeah.
Todd.
So this was a piece that actually we're performing this weekend.
Okay.
By Emerson Eads, who folks might know as the composer who wrote the Princess Sophia opera that we did about, I guess it was 5 years ago now. So this was a piece he wrote for us. So this is for the Taku Wins. And it's based on, there's three movements, and each of the movements are based on a beer from the Hoodoo Brewery in Fairbanks.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love that. So it's, how are they, how do they base the song on the brew?
Well, so there's actually a kind of funny story, funny to me. Hopefully you guys at least get a little kick out of it. So Emerson was supposed to be writing this piece for this concert, like with deadlines and everything. And the deadline was coming up and I'm like, "Hey, Emerson, how's it going?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, I might be a little bit behind, but, I think we'll have something really good." And I later learned that he had nothing.
Oh,
like,
no.
Absolutely nothing. And he was, just decided to go have some beers at the brewery and sit down and drown his sorrows and went like, "Oh, this is it. This is my muse, these beers." And in Emerson fashion, he had this 10-minute piece out in no time, probably like on the deadline too.
And so there's different movements in there. You can hear it. And in terms of like, so he was like, had a beer sampler and he was like, "What does this one taste like?"
Yeah,
and
it's like a flight.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Of beers for the ears.
Flight of beers for the ears. Oh my goodness. Okay. So, all right, Sarah, remind us about Juno Community Bands and then how this particular concert came to be.
Okay. Juno Community Bands is a group that tries to provide opportunities for adult wind and percussion players to continue playing on once they get out of school and on through life. And we have a couple of ensembles. The one that you're going to hear in the concert on Sunday is Taku Winds, our wind ensemble, which is our more experienced players. And we also have the 4th of July marching band, which you see in the parades. And we had a wonderful outdoor concert before the 4th this year. And we also have the reindeer band. And I was just talking with the Jack, and we're probably going to be at the Jack first gallery walk in December for the reindeer band. And we play Christmas carols and that kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. And so this concert on Sunday, we usually have two a year, one in the fall and one in the spring. And our fall, we kind of like to be kind of happy, a party atmosphere with good music still. And we decided it was October. How could we pass up the Oktoberfest theme? So that's what we're doing.
Oktoberfest theme is always a good one. That's what I was going to ask is so it doesn't always happen necessarily in October per se, or is Oktoberfest, is this going to become like a tradition in terms of having an Oktoberfest concert?
I don't know. We like to shake things up and something different. Yeah, don't shake up your beer.
Find different themes.
So find different themes. Like last year we did the Halloween thing.
Right, okay.
The year before that, I don't remember.
We've done a Mexican-themed concert.
Right.
And so we have various
something
ones.
Fall-like, right? Yeah. Something fall-inspired. Mm-hmm. Oktoberfest seems like a good inspiration. So, yes. Todd, you are the conductor.
Right.
And are you the main conductor for Juno Community Bands overall?
I tend to conduct a lot of their stuff.
Yeah,
I guess we can put it that way.
That's how it works.
Yep.
And then so what is on the docket? We'll get to Spencer's situation in a minute here, but what else besides that is on the docket?
Right. Besides that situation.
Yeah.
Which is a great situation, by the way. So Oktoberfest, right? So we've got this German themed kind of thing. We've got beer music with Emerson Eads Hoodoo Suite. We've got the Brahms Academic Festival Overture, which those of you go, "What? How does that fit into this theme?" Well, they're all of the tunes in this piece by Brahms are like collegiate drinking songs of his time.
Okay.
Yeah, that he did as a joke. Really,
right?
Or well, not really a joke, but just sort of like
Was he like young when he wrote those?
Not terribly.
No, okay.
No. He was getting an honorary doctorate, and so he's going to write this grand. Like it sounds really Brahmsian, if you know what that is. It's a little bit cerebral, very, very structured. Yet all of the tunes, everybody in the audience would have known as drinking songs.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
It's a kind of a fun insight.
That's cool.
Joke
I
there.
Like that.
Yeah. And we're doing a couple of polkas by Johann Strauss and a waltz by Johann Strauss, too, to sort of get that dance kind of aspect in there as well. And
then There's this.
Is that it?
The voodoo and?
And oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And, right. and then the situation.
But, and then the situation is excellent.
So Spencer Edgars is here.
That's my nickname, The Situation.
And he is fairly still recent to Juno.
Yeah.
Have you been, has it been a year?
Not quite.
Not quite. It was February, January. Right? January. Yeah. Okay, January. So it's coming up. But he has had such an impact on the music scene here. You might remember earlier this summer, he arranged and helped Taylor Vidic with the symphony and was on stage playing with her as well during that cool presentation that they had. You've seen him playing with some of the other musicians around town. But he is also a composer. And this Sunday, we will be hearing the premiere of a piece called The Circle. And so tell us a little bit about The Circle, Spencer. Like, what is it? How did it come about? How long has it taken you to write it? Does Todd love it or is he making you change it?
So The Circle basically came about through a series of tracks that I composed and produced electronically with various sample instruments. And I thought this would be a really good fit for this concert, for this fall concert, because that's also a thing for me composing, I find, and a lot of creatives can probably relate to this, is that during, you know, the fall times, we're going inside, we're sitting down at our desks, and we're getting creative, doing all that stuff. So it's really inspiring for me. And basically, this piece is, it's a very introspective piece. It's very inspired by the weather and the landscape that we have around us. And it's also sort of just centered around this transition that we go through during this time. And so, yeah, I took on the task of taking these electronic tracks to adapt them for wind instruments and percussion, and it's been really cool. And at one point, basically, we were trying to get, because it's an Oktoberfest concert, we were trying to get alp horns. If you're not familiar, that is the instrument that's featured in all of the Ricola ads. It's that very long horn that you see on a mountaintop. And I was talking to Todd one day, and he said, all of our alp horns in town are in the key of G, and there isn't any repertoire for alp horns in G. It's all in a different key.
What's odd is there is lots of music for alp horns and band, which is weird in and of itself. Like, I was expecting to find nothing, but it's all in like F or F sharp, which is super weird. And it's not a chromatic instrument, so you can't just play any note you want on an alp horn.
Oh, okay.
It only does a certain number of them. So it has to be in the right key
or it doesn't
work. So this, is a little
side note. So that was it. So were you able to make it happen?
Absolutely. So if you've never heard an alp horn in person before,
this is the way to do it.
That seems so perfect for this concert, right? I mean, that just seems so great. But so that process of taking, like, you were creating digital music, you said, right? So you're doing it on your computer or with like a piano, something plugged in, MIDI and all that technology, nerdy stuff that I don't understand.
Yes.
And then so you're getting that all down and just making that for yourself, really, based on your inspiration of what you've experienced here so far since you've been living here in terms of the outdoors and all that kind of inspiration, right?
Yeah.
And then so this thought of taking it from that into wind instruments, how do you do that?
Yeah. I remember you asking me a similar question.
Yeah, I'm always curious about that. Like, how artists actually get from X, you know, from A to Z, basically.
Yeah, it's just kind of a matter of, like, you know, taking it apart again, basically going back to what I had already done and dissecting it again to be like, okay, what are the different things going on and the things that I want to portray, and just choose instruments that are going to portray those ideas in the best way.
So a certain instrument might have, you know, like a sort of a bassy wind instrument might feel like sort of the wind that might, or a deep, dark day or something like that for you in terms of the storytelling?
Yeah, definitely. I think percussion is a great example because in this music that I wrote electronically, I used like some samples of just like sounds of waves and like sounds of a waterfall or something like that. And so something that translates in that way, for example, is like playing a roll on a cymbal to get this really washy sound.
With
the percussion. And yeah, it's just kind of this is music that I have wanted to put out. I've put out some of it, but just felt like a full circle moment.
And it's called The Circle. And it's really cool that it's part of this concert. Yeah. So new music plus some old music, and maybe in ways you haven't heard it before or in things you may not be familiar with, to celebrate sort of Oktoberfest from Juno Community Bands. I do want to mention that at intermission, they will have a plate consisting of brats, krot, mashed potatoes, and of course, German chocolate cake, right? So you got to have the whole thing. And there was also some adult beverages. Generously donated by Hoodoo Brewing from Fairbanks and also Forbidden Peak Brewery here in Juneau. And for more information, where do we go to get tickets and stuff, Sarah?
You can get tickets at the Jack, or you can go through the online Jack system. I do have a link to that from our website, which is junocommunityband.org. There are some links to the ticketing system on our Facebook event. So there's lots of ways to get there.
Definitely. And you can also just hit up jhc.org and find it through that way. Yeah. It's Oktoberfest concert Sunday, October 8th at 3 p.m. at the Jack. And Todd, while I have you here, I do want to also mention that you're involved in another cool project that is having some auditions this Sunday.
Yeah, there's so
also
many cool
Sunday. Like you're going to be busy on Sunday.
Yeah, I know.
So tell us about these, what's happening for these auditions.
No, sure. We are putting together a production of Rory Stitt's Kiu, which is a children's opera he wrote. And if you don't know Rory, he's a local, was born and raised here. Actually, I'm not totally sure he was born here. Pretty sure he was born here.
Spent a significant amount of time here.
He's been a significant amount of time here. He lives in Portland now. But we're putting together this big old production. And it's going to be performing at the end of February and rehearsing through January and February as well. And yeah, we're looking for some strong singers to fill out. We've got chorus parts as well as some, a few lead roles left as
great.
Well.
Great. So, and these auditions are Sunday, October 8th from noon to 2. You can call or email Betsy Sims. I just want to give this information out. Yep. StudioJuno@gmail.com. StudioAJuno@gmail.com. Yeah. Thank you. And her phone number is 209-3202. That's how you get an audition slot.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this opera. And also Betsy can probably answer some more questions for you. It's going to be directed by Shona Osterhout. And it's written by Rory Stitt. It's going to be you conducting and Betsy Sims is producing.
Yes.
What an awesome local production.
Oh, it's going to be really something. So it's wonderful. And we've got there's the biggest role is a young person role too.
Right.
So especially the like probably 12, 14 year old kind of range we're really looking for, especially.
So you need young people as well as adults.
Yep.
So maybe a parent and a child could do it together.
Yeah,
that'd
absolutely.
Be kind of fun.
Absolutely.
But don't forget this Sunday, Oktoberfest concert, October 8th at 3 p.m. at the Jack from Juno Community Bands. You can hit up junocommunityband.org or you can go to jahc.org and get yourself some tickets for that. Gunth Cheech for coming in today and telling us all about it. Break a leg, Spencer, congrats on the new piece.
Thank you.
And I look forward to the community hearing that. It's so great that you live in our community and we're getting new music composed and written and performed here by all of our local organizations. So that's really cool. So Gunth Cheech for you all being here today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Boston.
Thank you.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. On tomorrow's episode of Culture Rich Conversations from Juno's Black Awareness Association, a discussion about racial microaggressions in American culture, a sensitive yet important conversation about the Black lived experience of microaggressions and racism in America. Culture Rich Conversations is an ongoing collaboration with Juno Afternoon, which airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Akbay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a glorious Juno evening.